So we are continuing our study in the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes, and we are looking at verse 6, Matthew 5, 6. We're looking at those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. You know, it's interesting. I've been looking at different versions of the Scripture this week as I've studied it. I've studied in several different versions, and I actually thought my version said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. But this one says, for they shall be satisfied. But your text reads either filled or satisfied. You know, I was thinking about hungering and thirsting. Has anyone ever been hungry or thirsty? Do you know what that's like to hunger and thirst? This morning we're going to talk about what it means to hunger and thirst after righteousness. And really, as I continue to think about that, we're talking a lot about the kingdom of God and kingdom living and hungering and thirsting after righteousness, and those shall inherit the kingdom of heaven. They shall be satisfied. And I was thinking about the kingdom of God. Jesus has come to fulfill, and He's come to reveal the ushering in of the kingdom of God. And so we're thinking about being satisfied. We're being satisfied with Jesus. Those that hunger and thirst for righteousness are those hungering and thirsting for Jesus. And so I want to talk to you this morning about craving Jesus. And then I want to talk to you also about the second point. We're going to look at those who chase after Jesus. And I want us to look at championing Jesus. Did I say that right, Brother David? Championing Jesus. Very simple. And I want us to look at the text. You know, when I think about hungering, you're going to be blessed in your field. Content, joyful, and satisfied is what that means. You crave something that you've tasted. You remember, Jesus is talking to His followers. There may be people scattered out on the hillsides here, but really he's speaking to His disciples. He's speaking to those who are following Him. And He's talking to them what it means to be a disciple, what it means to follow Me. You know, we've looked at some of the other Beatitudes and looking at what it means to follow Jesus. The poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Those who need Christ, those who need the Lord. These are those who are dependent on Him, who have seen in the world in which we live. They feel alien, they feel as sojourners, and they realize that they need God. This is the second thing we looked at, are those who mourn over their sin, those who are broken, those who realize that they are depraved, that they can't live up to the standards of the law. They feel this weight. But then we talked about those who come unto Jesus will find rest. Those last week we looked at the meek, and that word meek, it talks about For they shall inherit the earth. It still builds on that. Those that are humble, those who are gentle in heart, those who are lowly, come unto Me, all you who labor and are heavy burdened, and you'll find rest for your soul. For learn from Me, for My yoke is easy and My burden is light. You know, we talked about what it means to follow Jesus in depending on Him, in finding His rest, in experiencing that heaven on earth, in living in the will of God. They shall inherit the earth. And so this, the blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. In craving Jesus, in craving something that you've tasted. Remember, Jesus is talking to His followers. He experienced peace, experienced rest, life, hope, joy, satisfaction by loving and following Me. Ann and I, for our anniversary, we got to special treatment. We went to a place called Jay Alexander's. You've probably been to Jay Alexander's. They have the best ribeye steak. And so though we couldn't afford to go very often, when we went, we would just savor this steak. But also, I love their salad. They would mix up the best salad, and they would have all these little colors in it, and these little things that would have a perfect mixture of sweetness and mixed in with the veggies. And man, they were so good, and they had the perfect salad dressing mixed on top of it, and it was so satisfying when I would leave there, because I was filled. I craved it, and when I would go, I would enjoy it, and I would long to go back there again to enjoy another steak and salad at J. Alexander's. You know, those when Jesus is talking about craving Him and hungering and thirsting after righteousness, it's a perfect indication. People of the day would knew what it meant to hunger and thirst. In John chapter 7, 37 and 38, it says this. I had a printout laying out on my desk and I didn't bring it to you. I had some references. But John 7, 37 and 38, and Jesus would say, He would say this, on the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the Scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." And you know, Jesus would also talk about thirsting and hungering, and He says, "I am the bread of life, and if you'll eat of my flesh, you'll experience the bread that I offer. You'll never hunger again." He would talk about to the lady, the Samaritan lady, this living water. If you'll, you know, that those who drink, you have to keep coming back and thirsting more and more. But if you'll drink from me, you'll find satisfaction and you'll never thirst again, because there'll be a river of living water. There'll be an eternal spring welling up in your soul that will lead to eternal life. And this lady would crave that living water. She said, "Give me this living water." And as Jesus would continually talk about to her what it means to follow her, forsaking your sin and coming unto me and experiencing what I have to offer, this living water, hunger and thirst for me. I want to encourage you to crave Jesus. You see right here in this Miss Pat has put it, Psalm 42, verses 1 and 2. It says that as the deer pants for streams of water, as the deer pants for water, so shall my soul long for you, O God. And then verse 2 of that says, Psalm 42, verse 2, like I said, I had all these printed out and I got to talking in there and I left it laying on my desk, so I'm going to turn to it. Verse 2, it says similar of that. It says, "My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God?" We should thirst and hunger for the righteousness of Christ, because we've tasted and seen and behold that the Lord is good. You know, we just finished a study on 2 Corinthians. One of the things we kept reminding ourselves of is that we are different. We've been transformed. We have a new nature. We have new desires. We have new hungers, new thirst. And Jesus is talking to His followers, if you're going to follow me, hunger and thirst for righteousness. Remember the meek. He's talking about the merciful. He says we live by a different standard. We don't go and retaliate. We love our enemies. We pray for those who persecute us. There's certain standards of living that lives out the righteousness that we've experienced, the thirst that we crave as we drink from that living water. It affects the way the things we crave, and it also affects the way we live. And that goes to the until the next point was we crave Jesus and His righteousness, but we've been filled, but we're being filled, if that makes sense. We've experienced, but we want to keep experiencing. I want to keep going back to J. Alexander's because I crave the things they have. When we taste and see the Lord is good, when we experience and rest for our souls, when we experience salvation, forgiveness of our sin, we want to continually rest in Him. The Bible says that all ye who labor, come unto me. So there's this experience of our soul that we find filling and satisfying. But Matthew 6:33, we just sang, says, "Seek ye first." So there's still this seeking, there's still this hungering, there's still this longing, there's still this coming unto me. Does that make sense? Because I was studying this week, I thought, I'm talking to them about a hungering and a thirsting that's filling. They're never going to thirst again. But then my next breath, I'm saying, keep seeking, keep searching. I'm saying, I feel like I'm contradicting myself. Does that anybody else kind of feel like that? Like you just said that you're going to drink and you're going to taste the Lord is good, and you're going to be satisfied and you're going to be filled. Because that verb right there, for you shall be satisfied, that's past tense. That means that you've been filled. Those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for you shall be filled. There is this positionally, there is this we know that this righteousness comes from God. And this righteousness comes from salvation that He extends by faith as we trust Jesus as our Lord and Savior. As we acknowledge Jesus is the answer, as we hit our knees and we cry out, God, have mercy on me, a sinner, forgive me, restore me. Make me right with you. I look to Jesus and His perfect gift as He put Himself on the cross in my place. And I'm telling you to find rest in that. Be filled because of what Jesus has done. Be satisfied. Jesus, 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 the sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. So there's still longings, right? There's still cravings. There's still a hunger. There's still a thirst that we have. The psalmist would know about this. In Psalm 119, I'll flip over here and remember, the psalmist says, blessed are those whose way is blameless. He says, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep His testimonies, who seek Him with their whole heart. So there's this seeking the psalmist would do, who also do no wrong, but walk in His ways. It says, so we talk about this craving Jesus, but we talk about one chasing after Jesus, walking in His ways, all right? Seeking Him with all of our heart, obeying His precepts and His law. The psalmist says, you have commanded your precepts to be kept diligently. Oh, that my ways may be steadfast in keeping your statutes. So there's this craving that leads to this chasing after. Then I shall not be put to shame, having my eyes fixed on all your commandments. I will praise you with an upright heart when I learn your righteous rules. I will keep your statutes. Do not utterly forsake me. The psalmist says, how can a young man keep his way pure? And he says, by guarding it according to your word, with my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. And then a verse that a lot of you know, I have stored up your word in my heart. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. The psalmist says, teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I will keep it to the end. Give me understanding that I may keep your law and observe it with my whole heart. Lead me in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. Incline my heart to your testimonies and not to selfish gain. There's a new hunger we have, folks, a new thirst that we crave. Turn my eyes from looking at worthless things and give me life in your ways. Confirm to your servants your promise that you may be feared. Turn away the reproach that I dread, for your rules are good. Behold, I long for your precepts. In your righteousness, give me life. I completely got over on a later on in the psalm, but I'll tell you this. Psalm 119 all has to do with that. It all has to do with those who with my lips I declare all the rules of your mouth. In the way of your testimonies I delight as much as in all riches. Verse 15, I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. The psalmist says, I delight in you. I thirst for you. I hunger for you. And this is where we find Jesus. John chapter 1. Jesus says, I am the Word in flesh. This is how we know God. This is how we obey Him. This is how we find our satisfaction. This is where we find our filling. I go to the gas station and I'm filled. I fill my tank. But you know what? I got to go back again next week. And right now, every time I go back, I put about a $100 bill in there. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Gas is going sky high, right? But we need gas. We need God's Word. We need to be filled. We long to be satisfied. We've tasted and seen the Lord is good. I pray that we crave and hunger and thirst after righteousness. And I pray that as we crave and hunger and thirst after righteousness, we'll seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Actually, we see this illustrated in Matthew 6. If you want to just, some of y'all are still on Matthew 5. Flip over one page to Matthew 6, 25. And let me get back to it while you get back to it. In Matthew 6, and let me set up that verse that we just sang. The reason Jesus is saying this is because He's continually teaching His disciples of what it means to live righteously, what it means to live and enjoy the kingdom of God at hand, to experience kingdom rest and kingdom life and kingdom love. And so in verse 25, He's saying, don't be anxious about what you wear and what you eat. He says, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? And then He says, look at the birds of the air. And we could all learn from the birds. They ain't got a worry in the world, man. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you of not more value than the birds? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his life? And why are you so anxious about clothing? We talked last week about fears. Jesus is now going a step further and saying, even your needs. Don't worry about the things you need. I'm going to take care of the birds, and I'm going to take care of you because I love you. You're mine. I bought you with the precious blood. I'm actually going to Jerusalem to climb a hill called Golgotha, and I'm going to be spread out, and I'm going to take punishment and pain and ridicule and shame because I love you and I'm meeting your greatest need and forgiveness of your sins. And then I'm going to give you, because I love you, I'm going to continue to take care of your needs. I'm going to grant you the things you need to eat. I'm going to give you the clothes you need to wear. I'm going to give you the money you need to buy that food and pay for that gas. Don't worry about it. He says, and why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will He not much more clothe you? You know, back then, He says, oh, you of little faith. Back then, the grass of the hillside would be, though it's flourishing and pretty right now, I saw pictures in some of my notes and it's historical commentary. They had this grass in bundles and they were taking it to feed their animals. It would be burned. It just represented God's sovereign hand. It represented God's providing our needs. It represents the fact that something that's here one day is gone the next day, but God is continually here, resolute. He meets us. He takes care of us. He provides for us. Oh, ye of little faith, will God not clothe you? Will He not feed you? Therefore, do not be anxious about anxious saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear for the Gentiles? Okay, here we are. We're being compared to the Gentiles. The Gentiles were the pagans. Right? They were the ones living for themselves. They were indulging in the flesh. That 2 Corinthians, when Paul would write these letters, the pagans were the ones that they had to beware of, the false teachers, the ones that were still going to the temple with the prostitutes and chasing after the things that gratified the flesh. We don't hunger and thirst after those things anymore. He says that's what the pagans do. They seek after the things of the flesh. They worry about what they're going to wear and what they're going to eat and what they're going to drink. He says, but you seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. That's faith. That's faith. That's what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. Trust the one who's on the throne. Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above Him, there's no other. Jesus is the way. What does it go on to say? Something about a master, right? Above Him there's no other. Jesus is the way. He's our master. He's our Lord. Do we trust Him? Do we believe in Him? Do you know, you focus on hungering and thirsting after Him. You focus on kingdom living. You focus on the things of God. Focus on the way we live to obey His laws and His commands. Focus on the rest and learning from having His yoke upon us and resting in Him. Focus on the things that our spiritual nature, new nature, hungers and thirsts after. Jesus will provide the rest. He'll help you with the things you wear. Now, this seems radical, but remember, the teachings of God are radical. You know, he fixed to move on to things like you've heard it said, you have heard it said, you have heard it said. You know, he's talking about things like loving your enemies. That would have been hard for the people of the day. It's hard for you. It's hard for me. He would say things like, you know, y'all talk about, you know, these type of things. He said, as a matter of fact, I highlighted a number of things that he said, things like, you have heard it said. And he says, you know, no one can serve two masters. He will hate the one, love the other. He will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. He'll say things like, for if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same. Love your enemies. You know, things like divorce, you know, but I say to anyone who divorces his wife except on the ground of sexual immorality makes her commit adultery. And whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. He's talking about, you know, you've heard it said that if you look on a woman with lust in your heart, you've committed adultery, or talking about adultery. And then he says, but if you've even looked on a woman with lust in your heart, you've committed adultery. He's showing them these radical ways to live. He's showing them that the law points us to our need. Anger. If you've had hate with your brother in your heart, you've committed a sin, you know. Jesus said, unless your righteousness surpasses those of the Pharisees, you're not going to inherit the kingdom of heaven. So the things he's teaching them are pretty radical. But the reality of it is, he's saying, I'm the answer. I fulfill the law. I'm where you find satisfaction. I'm where you find fulfillment with hunger and thirst. We crave Jesus. It leads us to chasing after Jesus. And as we allow God to satisfy our soul and we seek the things of God, His righteousness, we... you know, the Psalm 37:4, delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. What does your heart desire? Allow God to cleanse you and change your wants. But lastly, as we move toward a conclusion, simply living out that righteousness, living filled, living as though satisfied, you know, and just championing Jesus. You know, Jesus is fixed to move to Matthew 5:14 and talk about salt and light. He's saying you're to look different. You're to act different because you are different. You're to reflect my glory. You're to reflect my honor. You're to reflect my love. You know, you're to be a seasoning to those. You're to be salty. You're to be light. Like a city set on a hill cannot be hidden, but it's set forth and where all in the house can see. In the same way, let your light so shine before men that people may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. We crave Jesus, we come after Jesus in that we chase after Him, and then we champion Jesus with our life. Our lives are to be lived as acts of worship. Romans 12:2, to not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. In doing these things, just a couple of things that we need to remember is, you know, let your love be evident. You've experienced God's love. Make me a channel of blessing. Be a conduit of that love that He fills our hearts with. As we are filled and satisfied, let us talk to others about that satisfaction. Let us tell people about the cross. Let us live in light of the resurrection and the victory that Jesus accomplished for those who trust Him, those who find fulfillment in Him. Let us overflow with joy and eternal life. Eternal life is not just for eternity. Eternal life begins when we find and experience Jesus. Jesus is not talking about some kind of future fulfillment in that He is in that, as that ushering in of the kingdom and His second coming. Yes, everything will be grand and complete as the lion lays down with the lamb. But He's talking about eternal life. We experience that abundant life and eternal life when we're forgiven of our sins and we experience that satisfaction in our souls. You have a new nature. You've been made now in the image of God. You've been being transformed, so overflow with that joy and eternal life. Live kingdom living now in Hartsel, in Danville, in Eva, in Thoughtful. Live now for Christ. Worship daily. Worship daily. This is personally, but also corporately. You know, live with Christ daily. Spend time with Him early in the morning. You know, that psalmist in Psalm 63, verse 1, what he would say, the psalmist would say, we read Psalm 42, and like the deer pants for the water, so our soul pants for Christ, for the Lord. But Psalm 63, verse 1 says, O God, You are my God. Earnestly I seek You. My soul thirsts for You. My flesh faints for You as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. Man, we could go on and on. The psalmist would seek God and would search for God. And may we live lives of worship personally, but also corporately. This is kingdom living right here. We get a taste of heaven when we sing, when we celebrate, when we worship, when our choir sings, when our instrumentalists play, when we take up the offering and we give to help that church, when we meet together to talk about the cross and the resurrection and how to obey Christ and how to be accountable to one another and how to urge each other on and use our spiritual gifts for the equipping the saints for ministry. Our minds are wrapped up with kingdom living. May we crave, may we come after Christ, but may we champion Christ in our life, in our marriages, in our employments, in our relationships. It's kind of interesting, these Beatitudes, they start with the heart and within in living with in right relationship with God, and then they move on toward living in right relationship with others, because as our heart, the poor and needy, the mourning over our sin, and as we're filled and we're pure in heart and we're hungering and thirsting for righteousness, we begin to live in a way that affects all those around us. And gives us, we have now love and desire for those around us. You are different. I had a quote in my printout laying on my desk about a quote by C.S. Lewis. He says, you seek after the things of this world much like a little child plays in a mud hole and makes mud pies. You know, we become content with mud pies when there's a beach vacation planned for us around the corner. What are we seeking? What are we hungering after? Are we content in this world making mud pies when there's a grand, elaborate beach vacation waiting for us? Coming after Jesus, championing Jesus, living lives of worship. Only Jesus can satisfy. That blessedness is a deep, joy-filled contentment, an inner state of spiritual well-being. I summarized it up. Deeply joyful and spiritually whole are those who actively seek right relationships with God, and in so doing discover that He alone can completely save and satisfy their souls. What is satisfying your hunger and thirst? Are you experiencing Jesus? Are you finding fulfillment and completeness in Him? And do you continually long and seek after Jesus and His righteousness? And if we do, He'll take care of all of those other needs, the clothing, the hunger, the things we want to eat, things we thirst after. He'll meet us. You seek after Jesus. You hunger and thirst after righteousness. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Let's pray together. Father, we love You and we thank You that You have satisfied. But God, we thank You that You are continually satisfying as we come after You. We're thankful for the rest You give to our souls. We're thankful for the showing us Your perfect law that God, that shows us how to follow You and obey You, God. But we're thankful that You've given us the hunger and thirst that helps us to know You in all Your splendor and majesty, and to continually live out our calling, continually want to follow You, God. You've got to help me even want to follow You, God. Pray that You would continually fill us. Though we've been filled, we're being filled, God. And I pray that, Lord, we wouldn't live in fear, that we wouldn't live cast down. I pray that we wouldn't live in some kind of state of confusion or worry or anxiety ridden. But God, we would live out the purpose that You've given us, that You would help us to live in joy. And though we are sometimes humble and contrite and broken and meek, God, we still have a satisfaction for our souls. We still have a feeling that we give You glory for and thank You for, God. Lord, I pray that You would strengthen our church. May they find their identity and their joy in You, God. May we live out that salvation that You've given so full and free as we look to Jesus. God, may we live lives of worship. May we affect those around us. May we be salt. May we be light to those who are living in darkness. God, may we reflect Jesus in all that we say and that we do. God, may we live for You. May we hunger and thirst for righteousness. We thank You and we praise You, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.